I'm trying to remember why I asked Ben to read Scripture, but it's not coming to me quickly. We're going to be in Proverbs 3 this morning, so if you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs 3. It's page 529 in this blue Bible. If you don't have one, there should be one close to you. And if you don't own a Bible, we'd like you to own a Bible, so find one of these and take it home with you, and that is our gift to you. We're going to do what we always do at Graham today, and that is take a look into Scripture and learn from Scripture. In this case, we're in a series on the book of Proverbs. If you've been here the past 2 weeks, you know that. I did the intro 2 weeks ago. We saw in the intro that there was one prerequisite to a life of wisdom, and that was the fear of the Lord. That if you don't have the fear of the Lord, if you don't start with the fear of the Lord, you will not live a life of wisdom, a life where you will flourish. And then Bob last week spoke on Proverbs 3, which is, how do we integrate wisdom into life? Or how does wisdom integrate into our life? And what I want to do this morning is go back to Proverbs 3 and do a deep dive into Proverbs 3, verse 5, which reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." I'm going to do a deep dive into this notion of trust. And before I do that, let's pray. Father God, I thank You that we can come to Your Word and trust that Your Holy Spirit will take it and apply it to our lives, no more so than today. I do believe that You are bringing this day because You want to speak in power, and so we're just gonna be ready to receive that. And we just pray it in Jesus' name, Amen. So I'm gonna do something a little different than we normally do. That is, make noise in the pulpit up here. I'm going to speak just for a short time on trust, and then I'll explain what we're going to do from there, but obviously it's going to require more than one person. So that's where we're going. So trust, why? Why do I want to do a deep dive into trust? That's kind of the question. And the answer is twofold. One is, as I thought about what the fear of the Lord is and how it integrates, you know, you see it again and again in Scripture. My question was, well, what does that mean? What does it mean that, what does the fear of the Lord mean in practice? How do I practice the fear of the Lord? And I think Proverbs 3:5 puts us on the road to answering that question. And what I mean by that is, trust in the Lord is the fear of the Lord in practice. So the fear of the Lord is the theory, and trust in the Lord is the practice that gets us what the fear of the Lord is. That's the first reason. The second reason is because as I pondered this message, we at Graham, so right here, right now, we need to be renewed in our trust because of the things going on among us. So what do I mean? Well, some members here have children that are far from the Lord. You're walking with the Lord. Your child is not walking with the Lord. You're praying for your child to return to the Lord, and they're not returning. No, you pray year after year, does the Lord hear my prayer? Because as near as I can tell, my child has no interest in the Lord. What does it mean to trust the Lord there? some of us have spouse, or some of us are here and we love Jesus, but our spouse is not here and they don't love Jesus. And so we pray for them, right? We want to see them come to love Jesus like we do. And yet year after year goes by and there just seems to be no progress at all. Does the Lord hear that prayer? You know, we want to see this. We want this testimony of how my spouse came to faith and now they're following the Lord and how that glorifies God, right? I mean, that's a good prayer. And yet, God doesn't seem to be doing anything. Some of us right here, right now, are ill. Some of us have cancer. What does it mean to trust the Lord as you don't know how that's going to end up? Is the Lord going to heal you or is He not going to heal you? What does it mean to trust the Lord in that situation? So we have all those things. And that's why I want to dive deeply into trust. Because it's so crucial to how we live our lives. It seems like the Lord, just when we get through one thing that required trust, along comes something else. So, what does trust mean? What does trust mean? Well, here's the best definition I could come up with. It's this: trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. Trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or truth of someone or something. So when the scripture says trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's saying have this assured reliance that, in essence, God is there for you. And that's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Like, why would I want to put my trust in anything else than the God who created the universe? He's all powerful. Now, I could put my trust in myself or God. Like, which is wiser? Which is smarter? I learned a lesson on trust when I joined the Marine Corps. I went to flight school and they unsurprisingly, they don't say, okay, you know, here's the keys, there's your plane over there, jump into it, take off, figure out how to fly. And we hope it goes well for you. That wouldn't work very well. And planes don't have keys anyway. So they send you up with an instructor. And this guy is the expert. And so the first time I went up, I wasn't going, man, I hope, you know, Lord, if I don't come back alive. I wasn't married at the time, so I guess no one would really care. But, you know, that's it. You know, I wasn't worried because I had this expert with me. And so I didn't know anything. I'd never been at the controls in the aircraft ever before my first flight there. And yet I wasn't fearful because I knew, you know, if I get this thing into a really bad situation, this guy will take care of it. As a matter of fact, he's not even going to let me get into a bad situation. So that's what trust is. I wasn't trusting my own ability. I didn't have any. I was trusting His ability. And that's what trust means. Now, I'm going to ask my good friend Webb Smith to come up and we're going to have a conversation on trust. Now, Webb used to be a next-door neighbor of mine. And he and Lori, his wife, and... Sorry about that. Sorry. Terrible pathway to get here.
It's all right. I'll get over it.
Okay. We ministered together at Langsborough High School for 5 or 6 years in campus life. We did it at Webb's house. And that thing was overrun with 30 or 40 kids every Monday night. And never did I hear... The only thing we ever saw from Webb and Lori was acceptance and love of these kids that literally were tearing their house apart. And then he moved to Florida for work. And 4 years ago, on November 20th, he got a diagnosis that he had stage 4 colon cancer.
So literally, he's been walking through the valley of the shadow of death for the past almost 4 years. So as I prepared this, you know, I go, well, I could stand up there and talk about trust in the Lord, but I really would rather hear from somebody who really, like, the rubber's meeting the road. And as it so happens, Webb was down in Florida until, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago? He shows up, and we're talking, and the light bulb goes off in my head. And so I'm just going to ask Webb questions about what it means to trust the Lord, where he is now. They're not easy questions. They're kind of honest questions. And we sort of got together and talked through them. And as you'll see, he's gracious enough to handle them all. So, first question, Webb, what was your reaction when you got the diagnosis of stage 4 colon cancer?
It was devastation. My wife and I refer to that first week as our hell week. It was one of those things that you never know. The first thought that goes through your mind is, well, number one, I can't believe it's me, even though statistics show that 1 out of 3 people or whatever, but you just never think that it's going to be you. But I also remember in that week, and I'm in total despair. I'm so emotionally overwhelmed. I can't even call my own parents, and you know, so my wife's doing that. And I remember during that time, though, I said, never once was I questioning God during that time. Never once was I was my focus turned from who God is, because it hit me very quickly that if I'm going to call myself a Christian and I'm going to believe in our faith and what our faith tells us to believe in, and I'm doing that on Monday, praising with my men's group at church, whatever, and then on Tuesday I get this diagnosis, you know, that it's not God. God has obviously a part in everything, but at that time it wasn't a question of why would I stop praising God when I'm in the storm, when I'm praising him when I'm not in the storm. So it was kind of like it set my faith in line to be focusing on God and just trusting him that he had a plan for this. And it also just helped my wife and I, as difficult as it was, we just said that, I looked at her and I said, if one person has helped through this whole process, then it's worth it.
Hey guys, turn this off and we'll just share this. Okay, so from I think if I remember correctly, the first communication you had with outside friends saying I have stage 4 colon cancer, you had a motto. And what was that motto?
God's got this.
God's got this. And what did you mean by that motto that you repeated over and over again through the years?
Part of it, I wanted to be part of at that time, a ministry for me, a kind of a catchphrase that I would, every time I signed off on Facebook or on, we have a cancer page, Webby's Warriors. But I wanted it to be partly that. But it was also a reminder to me every single time that I was writing something or praying about my situation, praying for others in their situation, and that is that God is in control. I mean, we don't understand whatever percentage of, not even close to what God knows and how God is divine. I mean, he could, you know, create a universe like that. So I'm not going to question my God in that. So it was, to me, it was just like, God's got this. He's in control. I'm resting in that peace and that comfort. And if he gives me today, when he wakes me up today, then he's got something for me to do. And when he stops waking me up, then he's done with me for this life. And I'll have eternity with Him.
So part of trusting God is that sometimes He does or allows things that we do not understand. Have you, in the course of this, have you experienced that, and how have you handled it?
Yes, my pastor, for instance, had stage 4 cancer and is completely cured of it now.
The same kind, right?
Same kind. And you see a few other people through, you end up meeting a lot of people waiting in cancer, oncologist offices to go in. You spend, if you need to learn patience, it's a very trying way to learn patience, because you're going to go and you're just going to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait. But I got off track. I'm trying to think of
part of trusting God is that sometimes He does or allows things that we do not understand.
Yeah, and so you'd see other people, and it's not uncommon in a human form to go, well, it worked for him, why didn't it work for me? You know, or these drugs have all worked for this group, but they didn't work for me. And so there's just a common rationale or a thought that you go through in looking at that. But to me, it still comes back to all of us have a plan, and it's a perfect plan that God is working out in each one of our lives. And so it wasn't, maybe the reason for doing that drug and it not working was to be there and to be able to minister to the guy who was sitting next to me in the waiting room versus being cured by that, drug. I know through this whole process, at any moment, God can heal me. I have total faith in healing. And believe in that. But I also know God's will is not our will and at all time. And so I pray for God's will to be done in my life, not Webb's will. I want to focus on what God wants me to do. So, yeah, you see people, other things that you wish went one way, but I think a lot of times to fight it with a positive attitude, you just kind of have to dismiss that. And just move on to that God, trusting in what God has.
So I forgot to tell you guys before we started. So one of Webb's talents that we discovered in campus life was he can do a killer Britney Spears imitation.
Oh, yeah. Not here.
We won't ask you to do it here. I'd get kicked off the elder board if you did. But. Okay, so trust means dependence on the Lord.
Yes.
How have you depended on the Lord through the process of cancer, and what have you learned about dependence on the Lord?
It's the best place to be when you can fully get into that moment. I equate it to receiving a peace that transcends all understanding, because when I am trusting in the Lord, we're relying on Him, not us, to fix the things, to fix the problems, and I think that's where my wife Lori and I, so many times over the last 4 years have been in and out of chemo rooms. Basically every 2 weeks for the last 4 years, give or take a few months for a surgery or whatever. And we look around and go, how do people do this without Christ? And I don't know how you could do it. I really, truly don't. It is that trusting in the Lord, having a healthy fear of the Lord, but just turning to Him. Because there are so many things these doctors tell you that you don't. I'm not a doctor. It took me 2 terms to get through biology. I mean, I hate all that. But throwing all this stuff down at you. And to me, it's just, I just put it at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, you've got this. And kind of goes back to that whole motto when I put everything on the fact that, and I believe it's what God wants us to do. God doesn't want us, we all carry a cross. Thank you. I'm sorry. I mean, we all carry our own cross, but and for that, it can be one thing for me in doing a kind of a study on that for a while was everybody's cross is different, you know, and for some people that may be getting out of bed in the morning, you know, that dealing with depression, dealing with struggling with that, you know, for me right now, my cross is, okay, I'm dealing with stage 4 colon cancer. You know, I could die virtually at any moment. I could, you know, maybe I get another 10 years. Who knows? You know, but that's in God's hands. That's His plan. So I still think it just, for me, we always go back to the source. And when you're doing that, when you're going back to the truth, which is found in the Bible and found in your relationship with Christ, that's how I think we find our most peace and love and growth as we go through the process.
And dependence for you, like in chemo treatment, did God deliver you from the effects of chemo, or did you have to go through that?
I believe He has. I mean, I've got, I'm so blessed and so fortunate. It's amazing. You know, over the course of the 4 years, you get a card in the mail from someone you hadn't heard from in years, and the support and the people that, you know, I'm praying for you or on Facebook, and it's from what people have said, you know, it's like so and so's friend talked to so and so's friend, and they're lighting a candle in, you know, Europe for you, and so and so's doing this, and so I mean, Now, I'm not saying a candle does anything more than a prayer, but that's not my point. It's just that there are a lot of people out there that are praying for me, and that is it's a really incredible, overwhelming feeling. And I do think God has given me a strength, because the main issues for me have been really lack of energy and muscle loss and, you know, all those things. But I haven't had at all many days at all where I'm just over a toilet all day or whatever. You know, it's been pretty controlled. And so, and those are prayers we ask for. And so I believe they've been answered, you know, so that maybe that's because He wants me to live longer, but not all the way. Who knows? But I'm okay with that. You know, the other thing about having, being a Christian and having my faith is the fact that I don't have fear in the end game. I talk about it very openly. And, you know, I'm going to be healed one way or another. I'm going to be healed here, and He's going to use that healing for His good and His glory and His testimony, or I'm going to be healed when He takes me out. And so either way, I win. You know, it's just a matter of what we do between now and then.
So speaking of prayers from people oftentimes you don't even know, how has the Christian community or your Christian community helped you carry the burden of cancer in your treatment?
It's been absolutely incredible. I mean, a really true example of what I believe God intended when He set up the church, because it's not just been, you know, one individual church. I'll back up and say one thing. I wouldn't go to the hospital or the doctors. My wife and I, we owned our own business, so you had to get up in the morning, you had to go to work, or you weren't going to, you know, provide for your family. And we finally, I was in a group at church, an accountability group. So here's my one plug for both men and women. If you as a church don't have a good established accountability program for men and women, If you get anything out of what I say today, take a look at doing that. It is the most important, vital thing in my life over the last 6 years. When I joined that group and I had men around me, because we are all going to struggle. We're all going to struggle with whatever. The list of sins go on and on. And we don't have to list them today. But if you want help with them, the only way it's going to really come to help is to tell someone. And you got to share that with somebody, and you've got to explain that in your life. And so, and it was my accountability partner that I told him I wasn't feeling good, and he's like, all right, next Tuesday I'm taking you. So he takes the day off work, comes, picks me up, takes me to the hospital, sits with me the whole time until, you know, I get this horrible, you know, diagnosis. But so that... kind of not the same, but that is the critical part. And then how the church has just come alongside. I mean, I've had my men's group at our church is about 150 guys that we meet in small groups, and it's, but you just know everyone, and they're all there hugging you and praying for you, and they're calling me. Do you need anything? Does your wife need anything? You know, we're in the hospital before I came up here for 9 or 15 days, I don't know, whatever it was, I just go along. And, you know, we have people calling, can we take your dogs out, can we do this? You know, it's those littlest things that are huge, but that's, so it doesn't have to be a big grand gesture of love to be helping out in your church and your Christian community. It's the fact that, you know, someone took care of that for us. That was a need for us. And, you know, it was just huge. And we've had people on the same right when I couldn't pay our rent. I'm walking through the halls of our church, and a guy hands me an envelope with $1,200, which is exactly what we needed to pay our rent that month. Now, this isn't coincidence. He hands it to me and says, I don't know him, number one. He hands me the money and says, God told me to give you this. And it's exactly what we need. You know, I'll argue with you all day long, but that's God. That's not just someone, you know, coming out of the blue. So it's been awesome. It's when people are praying, and it's just been... church community has been great.
As a Christian, you know that God doesn't give us any guarantees. Sometimes he heals, sometimes he doesn't. Have you wrestled with that fact?
Wrestle, no. I mean, having a logical thought process about it, to read scripturally on different points of that, but I've never... Pride comes before the fall, but if I was to say one of the things I'm proudest of in myself is the fact that I haven't questioned God. I'm a simple man, and I just say I don't need to know things that I can't know anyway. So why am I going to waste my time wrestling with these things as to, is God going to save me, you know, cure me tomorrow or never, as far or until I'm with them? You know, I don't know that. I pray for it, and I continually pray for healing, but no, I really don't wrestle with it. I think it's harder on the caregivers and my family and friends. I mean, truly. I mean, I'll get emotional and I'll have a hard time in a day about it. I'm not sitting up here like I'm this rock, you know. But I think it's harder on them more than it is on me, because I know either way, you know, I'm there. So, and I know they are too. That's a comforting feeling to me. A very comforting feeling to me. But
so here's a question I did not prepare him for, and that is, Last was you got stage 4 colon cancer, chemo treatments. Was it January, February? You disappeared from the U.S.
Yes.
Of this year.
Yes.
Where did you go and why did you go?
I was struggling. That was in the middle of about a 4-month spiritual battle and struggle, and work. Everything. It just, everything seemed to be kind of going downhill. And one of my accountability partners, again, and a different one, said, Webb, you need to get away. When in the last 3 years at this point had you done something just for you? And I'd had a lot of people do really nice things for me. I had one friend from California, fly me out. We took a private jet, went golfing at Bandon Dunes. I mean, I'm telling you, I've had people do bucket list stuff for me that in the last 3 years, so it's not that. But he said, when have you gone away to spend some time with the Lord and just do that? Unplug from everything. And I said, I haven't, not in the last 3 years. And he said, well, I think you need to get away. And so we started looking at different places. But what's always been on my mind is Guatemala. I've been to Guatemala about 12 times on mission trips and built houses there and done that. And I wasn't in the best of health. I think my parents and my wife were less than pleased that I had decided that on Wednesday, that Sunday, I was leaving for Guatemala after I unhooked myself from chemo on Saturday morning, and that's where it was. So, that's what I ended up doing. Went down and built a couple houses and did feeding programs for widows and orphans, and it was, it's always just been a place that God has touched my heart with what's going on down there, and it happens all over the world, but this is just a place that's been on my heart for the last 15 years or so that we've been making trips down there.
Yeah, Sherry got the news, I think, on Facebook. She's like, Webb went to Guatemala. I'm like, what? So I guess I sided with, but that's pretty cool. So yeah. Last question. If there's one thing you want to pass on to Christians here, Graham, about your journey through cancer, what would it be?
There's so many things, but it does come back to the simple one. God's the same today, tomorrow, the day after that. He was the same, 3 months before. So, I mean, it really is a simple thing, but when we are caught in a huge storm, or when we're caught in abundant blessing and everything just going perfect, everyone's healthy in the family and you're all, from perfect to the storm. I just think it's remembering that God doesn't change. He still loves you. He loves us unconditionally. We don't deserve the love and everything he does for us. But yet, we do because God said we do, and that's why he sent his son for us. But it's relying on the basics of our relationship with God, our relationship with Christ, that allows us to have a relationship with God. And that, to me, is just, when you focus on that, all the other stuff comes out as far as what you're trusting in, and the peace of getting through it. There was a movie that just came out that was kind of controversial or could be viewed that way because it's not exactly scriptural and things like that. But there was a scene in the movie where the character playing Jesus and the character who's going through all these problems is in a boat sinking. And what I love about the scene is nothing else other than the simple thing that the character playing Jesus says, focus on me. Forget everything else, focus on me. Forget everything else, focus on me. Forget everything else, focus on me. And then everything was fine. And he picked him up out of the water and everything. So I don't care. It's not about that. To me, was a simple point of a message that we all should receive. Focus on him. And when we do that, when things are good or things are bad, you know, our lives are going to be better because we're focusing on him and he's going to direct our paths. He's going to direct where we're going. We're going to, more times than not, do the right thing instead of do the wrong thing that keeps taking us down the path of destruction. So I think it's keep it simple. I really do. It focus on Christ and when you're reading and all that stuff, the rest of what you're supposed to be doing will come to you.
Well, thanks for sharing with us your journey. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome.
Obviously, Webb could tell you a lot more about deep trust than I could because he's been in those deep places. Just going to close it up. Tim Keller once wrote, "You don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." And I just want to say, if you're here and you don't have Jesus, you don't have a relationship with him, that you can have a relationship with him. But the scripture says, "For God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." I know that is Webb's hope. That is my hope. That is Graham Church's hope. That is why we're here. And so if you're not a follower of Jesus, we just invite you to put your faith and trust in him. Let me close in prayer. Father God, we just pray for Webb. We just thank you for his willingness in his pain and difficulty to come up and share his journey. We pray that we as a church and we as individuals would trust you. Like Webb said, you don't change between when our life is good and when we get a devastating diagnosis. You're the same God, and may we just hang on to that and trust it. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.